sermons won't do it. Nice songs won't do it. You need the Holy Spirit showing up through people who care enough for you to counsel you based on their life and God's word.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about what can happen when Christians obey the Bible's instruction that we lovingly admonish one another.
Have an environment where everybody's a counselor. Then you'll see miracles and you'll see things that will blow your mind.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Counseling is a job often left to pastors or other professionals, but Dr. Evans says there's a certain kind of counseling that every Christian ought to be doing. Let's join him as he tells us about it.
Today I want to talk to you about a word. The word is admonish. Admonish one another. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I want to read verses 13 to 16 of Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge, and are able also to admonish one another. For I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. At the end of verse 14, he lays forth our thesis, admonish one another. The Greek word for admonish, noutheteo, means to counsel, provide counseling. So when you read admonish, you're reading an encouragement to become a counselor, like you would go to a professional counselor. But he's not talking now about professional counseling. He's not talking about going necessarily to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or an analyst. He says, admonish one another. He's talking about Christians' ability to provide biblical spiritual counseling to one another. We call it nouthetic counseling, based on the Greek word. The word has to do, admonish has to do with providing corrective guidance in order to prevent something that could go wrong, or to get somebody outside or exit them from something that is wrong. And even if it's not wrong, it's unwise, because certain things are not necessarily wrong, they're just not the best way to do it, not in your best interest. So when the Bible talks about admonishing one another, it is talking about addressing a need in another Christian's life where they need to be kept from something or where they need to be delivered from something, but they can't get out of it themselves, and so they need counseling. So when you provide counsel, whether it's formal or informal, you are in the position of admonishing one another. So now we know what admonishment means. It means providing counsel. The goal of admonishment is stated clearly in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. I'll read it to you. Colossians 1, 28, he says, we proclaim him, we proclaim Christ, admonishing, there is our Greek word, noutheteo, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. So the goal of spiritual counseling is spiritual maturity, to present every man perfect. Perfect means mature. God's goal is that you and I counsel each other, not just the pastor counseling the congregation, but the congregation counseling one another, one to the other. That they're supposed to be counseling and counselors all over the building, counseling one another in order to inspire, enhance, develop spiritual growth so that people become mature. How do you know if you are a mature Christian? You know you are a mature Christian when you are consistently making decisions that reflect a biblical worldview. So if your decision making is consistently tied to the human viewpoint as opposed to the divine viewpoint, you are an immature Christian. If it is consistently reflecting a divine viewpoint rather than the human man-centered viewpoint, then you are a mature believer. Our job is so that everybody in here becomes a mature Christian. But to achieve that, Paul says that it has to happen one to the other. Not just the pulpit to the pew, it has to happen one to the other because the vertical is connected to the horizontal. Now, having established the meaning, let's look at the qualifications. Because now you know you're supposed to be a counselor. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a counselor. So let's see if you're qualified to be an admonisher, a counselor, or not. Because you're supposed to be one. Look at what he says again in Romans 15, verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Qualification number one. If you are going to be a biblical, spiritual, Christian counselor, which you are supposed to be, then you must be full of goodness, righteous living, holy living. To be full of goodness means to be full of godliness. It means that you are seeking to live your life to please the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. How many times have you heard somebody quote that to you? Don't judge, lest you be judged. Or maybe how many times have you quoted it yourself? Okay? You have no right to judge another brother on a preference. A preference is something personal to you that the Bible does not condemn. If the Bible doesn't condemn it, you shouldn't judge anybody else on it. Okay? You can have your preferences. I can have my preferences because we are free. But judging preferences is different than judging sins. In fact, the Bible over and over again tells us we are to be judges. It tells us in Matthew 7 verse 15, we're to judge false prophets. It tells us in Matthew chapter 18 verses 15 to 17, we're to judge unrepentant believers. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, it tells us we're supposed to judge the good versus the evil. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul was upset that you did not judge the evil man in your midst. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, 15 to 17, judgment should start in the household of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you should set up your own court in the church so that you can judge between members who are in conflict. Shucks, there's a whole book in the Bible called Judges. So judging is something we should do, but not on preferences. Now, watch this. He says, judge not that you should be judged. So if you quote that verse, you could argue, well, see, the Bible says don't judge. See, that's the problem with picking the first verse and not going on to the second. Look at what he says. Let's go a little deeper. For in the way you judge, he's not dealing with the fact that you're judging. He's dealing with how you're judging. He says, in the way you judge, you will be judged by your standard of measure. It will be measured to you. Stick with me here. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. His point is, if you're gonna judge, make sure you're qualified to make the judgment. He doesn't say not to judge. He says you must judge in the right way. Because if you're judging somebody else on the very same thing you're doing, then what you're doing is bringing judgment on you. like the stewardess on the plane. You know the stewardess on the plane, they say, now if we lose oxygen, the oxygen mask is going to drop down. But before you put the mask over your children's face or over somebody sitting next to you, put it over your mouth first. Why? Because if you can't breathe, you can't deliver somebody else. In other words, you take care of you in that area before you help somebody else in that area. You can help somebody else in another area, but not that area. You become disqualified because it's not good. And then he says in verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, dogs or hogs. And do not throw your pearls before swine, and they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. In other words, don't waste your counseling on people who don't want God's perspective. Okay? Because we're talking about nouthetic counseling. Nouthetic counseling is God-based counseling. You don't give God's view to people who don't want it. Because you're giving pearls to swine. Now, who would buy a pig a pearl necklace? Pigs don't know how to handle pearls. And when you give biblical nouthetic counseling, you're handling pearls. And we're trying to put it on swine, a euphemism for that which is unclean. For he's not talking about don't counsel. He's saying don't counsel, that is, don't judge unless you're doing it from God's frame of reference.
More from Dr. Evans about what qualifies us to counsel others when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I'd like to tell you about the perfect way to follow up on our current series, Tony's brand new book, Horizontal Jesus. We know what it's like to have a vertical relationship with the Lord, but what about those side-to-side relationships we have with people here on earth, the kind Tony's been teaching us about? Horizontal Jesus shows us how we can turn those connections into a channel of God's blessings and experience the Lord's power flowing through us like never before. You'll find loads of practical suggestions about how to put the one another's to work in your home, your church, your workplace, and your community. Contact us right away and request your copy of Horizontal Jesus. And if you can include a contribution of any size to help us continue our program on this station, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift. This offer is only available for a limited time, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, but right now, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
The first qualification is you're full of goodness. The second qualification is you're filled with all knowledge. Okay, so the first one is a lifestyle that qualifies you. The second qualification is the information that needs to be delivered. What knowledge is he talking about? He's talking about God's perspective on the matter. Divine knowledge, that is the word of God. I love the way Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Here's our problem. Our problem is we are not giving people enough biblically based counseling. We're giving them human opinion. I think this, I think that, I think this, I think that, I think you ought to do this, I think you ought to do that. Every time you pick up the phone to get a speck out of your eye to deal with an issue of life, and you're talking to people who don't give you God's point of view, that is a wasted conversation. Not if you're trying to deal with an issue, because why? Because the Holy Spirit only uses God's point of view. Do you see what the passage said? Look at the end of verse 13. It says, I want you to have joy and peace so that you will abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the end of verse 16. That you will become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Here it is. The Holy Spirit only shows up when there is a good life and the good word. When the life and the word match, the Holy Spirit is free to marvel, to intervene, to deliver. But if the life and or the word are not matching, there will be no power. So every time you're seeking advice on how to fix your home, on how to be a man, on how to be a woman, on how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to handle your career, how to handle your money, when you pick the subject that's a problem in your life and you seek to be delivered by something other than the right life and God's word, there'll be no power. So we're climbing a ladder to reach the top without the Holy Spirit handling the foundation. And the ladder keeps falling over. And we make a New Year's resolution and it falls over. And we promise never to do it again and it falls over. And we were serious. We were serious about that thing. We weren't playing, but the ladder keeps falling over. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wasn't free. He needs the right life with the right word if he's gonna show his power. I love the way Paul put it in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, being on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one, admonish, nuthetic, to admonish each one with tears. Biblical counseling cares about the well-being of the person you're trying to help. You need to have a heart for the person. He says, I counseled you with tears. I cared about you. There's got to be the right heart. It can't be, you know, I told you so. It can't be just fulfilling a job description. It's got to come out of a heart that's willing to cry. Says, day and night, I stuck with you. It's got to be with a heart that's willing to hang in there. That's why it's got to be one another. I can't hang in there with 7,000-8,000 people, but if everybody's hanging in there with somebody, if everybody's admonishing one another, then everybody's getting worked with, walked with, cared for at different levels. You're counseling somebody while somebody's counseling you on another area, and then somebody's counseling them on another area, and one to the other, because somebody is caring for somebody else, and everybody's being cared for. He says, it was with my heart. He says, I wept over you for 3 years. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25, that we're to help each other with gentleness. A surgeon, you see him take a scalpel. He getting ready to cut. He getting ready to hurt you. He getting ready to cut. He's getting ready. You're going to bleed when he finishes with you. He takes that scalpel and he cuts you. But one thing is clear. He's trying to deliver you. If he's a good surgeon, he may have to cut, but he's trying to deliver. It's clear that you're on that table to be delivered, even though it's going to involve a knife. Let me tell you what a good surgeon is not, a slasher. He slashing you up and down. Because a slasher is trying to hurt you. You know, a slasher is not trying to correct something, they're trying to kill something. But a surgeon still has to cut. It still may hurt. You still may bleed, but he's trying to deliver. If you're counseling somebody and everybody ought to be one, it ought to be clear. I'm trying to save something, not trying to hurt something. I'm trying to deliver something, not trying to, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:14, he is saying, I did not say this to shame you. I'm not trying to put you to shame. You may feel shame because of what it is, but I'm not trying to shame you. He says, I do this for your benefit. And here's one way you know whether your motives are pure. Are you telling everybody else before you try to help that person? Bible says if somebody has an offense, go to him privately. Unless it's a public issue. If it's a public issue, everybody knows about it, that may be different. But if somebody has offended you, he says, you go to them behind closed doors. You don't be blowing that out for 50,000 people, because what you're after now is ruining their character, shaming them. You're not after helping them. So if you tell everybody else before you start to sit down one-on-one privately, and then it says, if they won't listen to you, take two or three with you. Get a couple of close friends and get them privately, and maybe that'll help. And then if they don't listen, he says, then tell it to the church. But you don't start off on a bullhorn. Not if you're trying to help. That's slashing. He says that's not the motivation behind a biblical counselor. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we got some lazy dudes in that chapter. Says the men don't want to go to work. They want to sleep in. He said, the folks are being busybodies in everybody else's affairs. He says, I want you to admonish them. Counsel that brother to get up and get a job. But he says, treat him like a brother. Remember, he's family. And yes, he needs to be corrected. He can't have a family and be sleeping in. He can't be being lazy, irresponsible. He said, get that brother moving, get that brother up. But remember, he's a brother. It's family. And if he won't respond, then you get tougher with him. But he says it must be done with this biblical sensitivity. Let me show you one other scripture as we wind down. James chapter 5, the last two verses. My brethren, if any of you strays from the truth and one turns him back, you bring him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You know why we got to counsel one another? In order to save each other from something going worse. And you're to save, watch this, his soul from death. He didn't say his body from death. He said his soul from death. Because unless you're physically sick, whatever is wrong with you is located in your soul. It is the invisible part of you. That includes the mind, that includes the emotions, that includes the will, and that includes the conscience. All of those make up your soul. The mind, the will, the emotions, and the conscience. Those four things make up your person and personality. If something is wrong in your mental, if something is wrong in your thinking, if something is wrong in your self-control, that's all soul stuff. And that thing may be killing you. And we're supposed to be, guess what? Saving folk from dying. Sermons won't do it. Nice songs won't do it. You need the Holy Spirit showing up through people who care enough for you to counsel you based on their life and God's word.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story to wrap up today's lesson. So stay with us. First, though, today's message is part of a very practical series from Dr. Evans called The One Another's, focusing on how God wants us to care for each other within the family of faith. It's a 2-volume collection, available on CD or DVD, and it includes material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. So contact us right away at tonyevans.org for details. When you do, don't forget, for a limited time, we're offering Tony's brand new book, Horizontal Jesus, as our thank you gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. There are also some great companion resources available, including a personal study guide based on the book and a Bible study kit you can use with your small group or Sunday school class that includes 6 DVD lessons from Dr. Evans. So visit us today for details at tonyevans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. The old song says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. But there's an important way we express that love that Dr. Evans wants to talk about tomorrow. Right now, though, he's back with these final comments for today.
One of the great stories in the Old Testament is Noah. Noah has 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham goes into his father's tent. His father is drunk. And his nakedness was uncovered, which means he was either doing something immoral or looking in an immoral fashion. And he was intoxicated. Ham saw his father's nakedness, went out and told his brothers, hey, Shem, Japheth, guess what Dad's in there doing? The Bible says Shem and Japheth picked up a cover, took it in, and covered their father's nakedness. Then the Bible says that Ham was confronted. And the Bible says, your son Cain is going to be cursed. Instead of covering him up, not a cover up, but covering him up, you went out to embarrass him. And now your family line is cursed. Admonish one another. Have an environment where everybody's a counselor. Because everybody's maturing, and at the points of their strength, they're helping everybody else while they're being helped in the points of their weakness by somebody else. Admonish one another. Then you'll see miracles and you'll see things that will blow your mind, because God will be at home as we admonish one another.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative. and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.